Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God, we bless you and we lift you up, Lord. We bless you and we lift you up right now, God. Hallelujah. You are everything to us, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless you right now, God. We bless you right now, God. There's nobody that is greater than you, Lord. There's nobody that is greater than you, God. There's nobody that can compare. There's nobody that is equal to you, God. Oh God, we bless you. Hallelujah. We lift our hands up to you before we do anything else. We're going to glorify you, God, because you're worthy. You're worthy, God. You're worthy, God. Hallelujah. 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 You're worthy. Before we do anything else, God, we're gonna lift you up. We're gonna lift you up. You say we ought to lift you up. If we lift you up, you will draw us closer. So draw us closer right now, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. So we're gonna approach you, Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. We're gonna approach you, God, with a hallelujah. We're gonna approach you, God, with a grateful heart. Hallelujah. Oh God, oh God. Hey.
Oh God, we have my mind in a local sea.
Oh God, we're going to cast down all these problems. We're going to cast down all these cares. We're going to give you every concern and every worry. We're going to give you all the sickness and the shame and the pain, God. We're going to empty out all the guilt and the hurt and the fears, God. We're going to give you every tear, every trouble, and every doubt. We're going to give it all to you right now, God. We're emptying ourselves right now, God. We don't want to be cluttered. We don't want to be consumed. Oh, God, but we want to be empty. That we may be full of you, God. We don't want to have all these things down in the inside of our heart and a strain on our brain, God. That's preventing us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, from getting in your face. That's troubling us in our hearts, God. We don't want to carry this stuff anymore, God. So we're going to cast all our cares at your feet right now. We're going to cast everything at your feet right now, God. Because of some things that's heavy on our hearts. That's got us in that place of fear, God. It's some things, God, that's heavy on us, God. They got us in that place of doubt. So we're going to give it all to you right now, God. That we may be able to make some room for you. We're not going to allow these things to consume us, Lord. Every situation that's going on in the homes, God, we're going to give it to you right now. Every situation that's going on, God, on our jobs. And even the fear of losing it, God. Oh, God, we're going to give it to you right now. Every problem, God, that has been hovering over our families, Lord. We're gonna give it to you right now, God. Every financial burden, Lord, that's causing us to go into a place of wonder, God. We're gonna give you that right now, God. Everything, God, and every person that ever came up against us, Lord, that put us in a place, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we are going to, we lay that down at your feet, too. Ah! Oh, God, that fear of loneliness. The fear of shame, God, and that guilt, God, that we carry, Lord. Oh, it's so heavy. We want to give it to you. Ah! All the stuff. All the stuff, Father God, in the name of Jesus. That causes us to walk away from you, all the sin, God. The wrong thoughts, we lay that at your feet too. Oh God. Oh God. The division in the families, Lord. In the marriages, God. we just have mapped out our lives, God. We have thought and believed that it should be, it should be, God. All the stuff he cutting it in see that keep us discombobulated in a place of imbalance in our thoughts, causing our emotions to be away. We're giving it all to you right now. Every generational curse that causes us, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to have sickness in our bodies after generation, every call. We're giving it to you now, oh God, that you may break some things today. Ah! Oh God, higher than Uncle Sunday that I can see. Oh God, the worries that we carry concerning our children, concerning our parents, concerning our own lives, God, we laying it down right now. Oh God, he got that in Uncle Cia. We want to declutter ourselves, Jesus. That you may be able to come in and deliver us from some stuff. That you may be able to break some things, God. Loosen some chains, God. Oh God, we giving you this stuff right now. We giving it to you right now, Father God, and we're gonna remove the conditions. Yeah. We are not gonna put conditions on you, God, because it causes limitations to take place. So we're removing the conditions right now. Oh God, help us on today, God. Open up our understanding that we may be able to go shutting it like I see here, you don't go see. That we will lead to our own understanding. Enter into this sanctuary on today, Father God, and meet the needs of your people. Go down into every last one of these pews. Lord, you know any and everybody in here. You know them name by name. You know them even before they was formed in the very bowels of their mom's belly. I'm asking you right now, Father God, to heal, deliver, set your people free, and make them whole on today, God. Let your people come to terms with some things today. Oh, my mind, little local shut, little local see. Give us that clarity that we need, God. That we will remove all these conditions and get out of your way. God, let us decrease today that you may be able to increase, God, that we may be fulfilled in your glory. Oh, God, I'm asking you to do it right now, Lord. Because I know you delight in doing so, God. So many of your people, God, oh God, that you are limited in your conceit. You are limitless, God. And that there is nothing that is impossible with you, God. I know that you are able and capable. Reveal your majesty today. That your people may know without a shadow of doubt that you are real and you are God all by yourself. Ooh, Jesus. Breathe the breath of life on your people today, God. Motivate your people, Father God, in the name of Jesus to be rededicated unto you. and releasing all the old God. Do it even now. Do it now, God. Settle here. Settle in this sanctuary, God. Oh, God. Lift up the grief in the heaviness. Ooh, you have made me all go see. Ooh, Jesus. Oh, God. Let not sorrow overtake your people's hearts. Let not hurt cloud the vision of your conceit. Oh God. Oh God, I'm crying out for your people. I'm standing in the gap right now. And so many times in our life that we have a tendency of forgetting that God is able to do some things for us. I need y'all to get yellow sheets of paper and red pens. Y'all got me mighty heavy this morning. Oh God. I want y'all to write down all this stuff that you holding on to. And I want you to release it. And some things that's going on in the minds that has put us in a place of degradation and segregation. It's a place that's going on inside of our minds that is causing us to be distracted or consumed. It's some things that's going on inside of our hearts that we keep on holding on to and we just will not release. It's some circumstances that we have had to address or even afraid to address that's causing us to get into a place of wandering or wondering what's next. It's some heartbreaks. It's some sadness going on. We still wondering and trying to figure out why this happened and why that happened and all this other stuff. I want y'all to write down all this stuff today. I want y'all to write it down and then I want y'all to put it on the altar. I want to play this song. Because I want the Lord to settle here today in our hearts. I want him to settle in our minds. He can't settle within our hearts if we don't empty it out. And he can't settle inside of our minds if our hearts are so consumed with stuff that it becomes a strain on our brain. So we want to release some things today and let go of some stuff. We want to just give it all unto the Lord today. Because a lot of this stuff that is happening inside of our lives and inside of our hearts, we keep forgetting that God is in control of everything. We got our whole lives mapped out. Thinking and believing this is supposed to occur, this is supposed to happen, and this should happen by this age, and or I'm too old for this, or I'm getting too old, and we a mess. And it's all in the timing of the Lord. Every generational curse and sickness. Every time you go to the doctor, they say, well, is it anybody in your family that had this or had that or this? All these generational curses, we want it to be broken today. Even in our mind, from traditional ways, actions, things that we have did, things that we want to stop doing, or are we trying to stop, and it's hard for us to. We want to write down all that stuff. We want to get rid of some things that is causing us to go into a place of a degradation, of segregation, and separating ourselves, thinking and believing that if I'm off to myself, that I'm going to be all right. But don't you know that's giving the enemy room to put you in a place of depression? We got so many conditions on our lives that we put our own selves in a conditional state. And if that thing ain't happening the way that we think it should, or why it hasn't happened, and we want a certain thing to happen in our lives and it haven't, we trying to figure it out, then we condition ourselves, and then there we go again. We got ourselves way back down there of thinking a certain type of way. Be it negative or positive. Sometimes we can think so positive, it can put us in a place of pride. Sometimes we can think so negative, it'll put us in a place of being completely and totally suicidal. And when I say that, it does not mean that you're just trying to kill yourself. You suicidal because you self-sabotaging everything that you touch. The name of the sermon today is Terms of Life. We want everything to be the way that we want it to be. We want everything to happen the way that we want it to happen. And when these things is not panning out the way that we think or the way that we believe, we try to put our hands to it and make things happen. And now we're in His way. We're in the way of the Lord. Because we are so impatient, or we're in a rush, or we think that it should happen by this time, or we think that it's long overdue. And when I tell you, terms of life, that's what He gave me today. We put terms and conditions on our own selves until we stress our own selves out. And then we start stressing out other folk. That stress becomes troubles and worries and problems. And then we got high blood pressure. We got ulcers. We sick. We can't get rid of the headache. And it's all kind of mess concerning the terms of life, that our conditions have over exceeded the conditions that we supposed to have in place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. These conditions comes from our experiences in our lives, of things that we're trying to avoid to experience. We're going to go to the book of Psalms. We're going to start there. We're going to end in the book of John. I'm going to try to make it quick. because I want y'all to really understand what the Lord is talking today. Terms of life. Terms. It's provisions that determine the nature and scope of an agreement or a condition. Term is a state of acceptance or understanding. Sometimes these terms in our lives we can't regulate because we don't understand. We can't regulate to understand because we don't want to accommodate. That's what he just said. We can't regulate to understand, so we can't accommodate. I can't accommodate to that thing that I want to happen right now, but I can't make it happen right now. So I'm going to try to do any and everything in my power. And this is the condition that I'm putting on my own self. And so this condition is going to cause me to do this and to do that, and for to do this and to say that, and for to act this way and for to act. And it puts me in a place where I don't put myself in a condition that I am conditioning somebody else. How am I conditioning somebody else? Because that term that's happening in my life right now that I need to happen at a certain time, I put that condition on me. So not only do I got a strain in my brain, but I'm putting a strain on somebody else too. How you doing that? How do you think you do that? Do you think that your condition strains others? Yes. Let me give y'all a simple example. I love you. I love you. Now, if that person don't say they love me back, I'm feeling some type of way. Because my condition in my head and in my mind is if I tell you I love you, you're supposed to tell me you love me back. So because you don't, it's changing some terms in my head. And these terms is, oh, you don't love me. Well, why you ain't say it then? Well, why? What? So now I got a strain on you. Well, I gotta tell you, I love you every time you tell me you love me. Haven't I showed you how much I loved you? What make you, I don't wait. So these are these things, because of my terms and my conditions, now I done put a strain on you. Now you feel like, this how you strain, that I gotta prove something of every time they say, I better say it or this gonna, I ain't finna stress me out today about this mess. You, Lord Jesus. And that's just something simple. So we can we go to the complicated things now? We talking about the terms of life today. The conditions that we put on our life and the terms that is required to make my life more comfortable. Because if I'm not in a place of comfort, do you think you are going to be? I'm just saying. Don't they say misery loves company? Y'all better believe that. Y'all better believe that. These terms, this is what he ministered to me this morning. Terms of life. Terms. It's provisions that determine the nature and scope of an agreement or a condition. It's a state of acceptance or understanding. Now, I may not be able to understand the term or the condition that you are placing on me. And because I don't understand it, guess what? I will not accept it. Let me give y'all an example. Understand why every time I say something to you, you gotta disrespect me. Why you always yelling? I don't understand that. So because I don't understand your tone, I'm not gonna accept what you trying to say to me because your tone has made me deaf. I'm deaf. Why? Because you ain't gonna talk to me like I'm a kid. You ain't finna. complicate nothing, did I, y'all? We talk about the terms of life today. See, all these things causes us to get afflicted. See, let me go back to term. It's the provisions that determine the nature and scope of an agreement or condition. It's a state of acceptance or understanding. It's a point in time assigned to something in accordance with one's wishes. So, because I'm not getting what I want, you ain't fit to get what you think you want. We're talking about terms of life. We're talking about the conditions that we put on ourselves that causes a strain on others as well as our own selves. Don't y'all know that we strain children too? Don't y'all know that we put and apply conditions to children that we even put a strain on their brain? Did you hear what I say? Let me. I always give myself an example. So, before I had any children, my oldest brother had children first. He got married first. He was a few years older than me. And so he had three children by his wife. And in the midst of it, some mishaps happened. And both the parents was not in the children's life. And my mother had to get custody of the children. In the midst of them getting, my mother getting custody of the children, us, which was the aunties, had to help to raise the children. And so the youngest one, my mother now gave to me. You know, we all stayed in the same house, but we all had terms and conditions that had to be applied. So his name, my nephew's name was, we called him Little Ricky. His name was Ricky. Now, didn't nobody want to be bothered with Little Ricky? Because they used to say he was bad. My grandmama always said he was mischievous. So because I was more sterner than my other siblings, they gave him to me. So, Lil Ricky was the one that stuttered, that couldn't get his words out right. They say he was slow. But I beg to differ. Because my motto was this, and I even tell my grandchildren this. It's two things you ain't gonna be, a liar and a dummy. You ain't gonna be that. You gonna tell the truth and you gonna get an education. You gonna learn something. You ain't gonna be a liar and no dummy in my family. Now, those was my terms and my conditions. So, Larika used to always come home with incomplete work. And because of the terms and conditions that I gave him, he used to be scared to come in that house. And when he came in crying. I tried. Scared. Crying. Because he knew my terms and my conditions was going to put him in a place where he had to do what he needed to do in order to acquire what he needed to acquire. Okay? We're talking about my nephew now. So, he had to count from 1 to 50. Yeah, y'all listening? And him having to count from 1 to 50, he'll always mess up when he get in his 30s. And in the midst of him messing up, when he get ready to get in his 30s, he'll look at me and tears will start rolling down his face. I say, what are you crying for?
bruh man. He said, cause I don't want no whooping. Now mind you, he felt like that because of the terms and the conditions that I put on him as a kid. So these terms and conditions put him in a place where he and everybody else, because everybody else was sitting around the table, everybody doing their homework, and he the only one scared to death because he always the last one sitting at the table. Because then nobody wanted to deal with him because it took a little bit longer. So, why did these terms and conditions put a strain on that kid? Fear. Fear. See, we put terms and conditions even on children that causes them to be in a place of fear where they cannot function at the level that they should. Why do we do that? Because of the terms that we require of that individual. Now, I done gave y'all an example of adults then. Gave y'all an example of children. I gave y'all an example so that you may be able to understand and you can accept. The name of the sermon today is Terms of Life. We're in the book of Psalms. Terms. It's provisions that determine the nature and scope of an agreement or a condition, a state of acceptance or understanding. If you do not understand something, you will not accept a thing. And it'll put you in a place of confusion. God is not a God of confusion. A point in time assigned to something in accordance with one's wishes. And what is life? It's a sequence of physical and mental experiences that make up the existence of an individual. It's one or more aspects of the process of living. It's the period from birth to death. It's spiritual existence. Psalms 34. We're talking about terms of life because there are so many different things that we put conditions and terms on in our life that we feel like is unbearable. Now, let's talk about our children again. Oh, Jesus. See, my son, I'm talking about that kid that I birthed, is full grown, okay? In the midst of him being full grown, the terms and conditions that I put on his life as a kid, it altered him as an adult. Are y'all listening? Why he got me talking about kids that they don't know? See, I don't care how you tell a child, convince a child, open up a child understanding, explain to a child or whatever, their understanding of that thing will not be accepted if it's not according to what they think. Did you hear what I say? There are many things that can be said or done in our lives that will make us think or believe a certain thing that can alter our understanding that is non-acceptable. It is non-acceptable. I will not accept my son or daughter disrespecting me, whether they are grown or not. Why? Because those are terms, right? And conditions. But what if I'm disrespecting them? Do those terms and conditions apply to them? Because I'm the mama. Yes, they apply to them. Because the Bible declares that even in the midst of it, we're supposed to provoke our kids. Honor your father and your mother. But we're supposed to provoke our children. How far do that respect goes? Can that respect go to a point where I can talk with you instead of at you? So my son or my daughter should be able to express themselves to me and tell me some things respectfully, and my terms and conditions does not manipulate the conversation to make them feel as if they are wrong when they got a voice too. We talk about these terms of life today, y'all. Because us as parents, mother or father, manipulation been going on ever since. Jacob and Esau, it's been going. Mamas and daddies been trying to manipulate children. I'm just saying. I don't even know why he got me going there, but I went there. Psalms 34. We're going to start at verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Now, when you say righteous, it does not mean you righteous and I'm bad and I'm wicked and I'm evil. It means that you got the right kind of mind when you going to him. You got the right kind of heart when you going to him. What is righteous? It's acting in accordance with divine and moral law. It's conforming to a high standard of morality or virtue. It's following the accepted rules of moral conduct. So do you got a righteous mind when you going to the Lord and you crying out and you in a smack dab in the midst of anger? Now you could be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now you mad and somebody trying to come up against you or trying to do something to you. Are you crying out to the Lord with the right kind of... We ain't even talking about the heart. Oh, Jesus, let's not even get there yet. We talking about the man. The Bible says the righteous cry. The righteous cry. We got to have the right kind of man. Baby, let me tell y'all, when the Lord's got to switching up my prayers and telling me how to pray and what to pray for to get some results, babe, let me tell y'all about God being a strategic God. He'll have you target some areas in you that when you praying about that person that's coming up against you or doing something to you, baby, that you'll start praying. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. Oh, Lord, study. You. Because when the righteous cry, we can get some results, y'all. Let me prove it. I'm going to prove it. Listen to this. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. I'm not finna go to God. Now see, I'm not just talking about people coming up against you. I'm talking about when you're troubled in your mind and you can't pay no bills. I'm talking about when you're troubled in your mind, when you done lost your mama, your daddy, your loved one, your kid dead. I'm talking about the kind of troubles that I ain't talking about just no one area. Let's talk about on the job. Let's talk about in the marriages. Let's talk about in the homes. Let's talk about in the families. These generational curses in your body. When soon as you go to the doctor, well, is your mama had this or your daddy had that? Why you asking me about the people in the phone? Every generational curse is broken when it comes to you. Why? Because when I cry to God, I'm crying with that righteous attitude and that righteous mind. Why? Because he said by his stripes I'm healed. So I got the right kind of thought concerning that thing. And I hope y'all following me today. See, because we only apply certain scriptures to certain things when it's the whole overall of it. This is what can heal, deliver, and set us free from self-sabotage and not thinking righteously. How is he going to deliver you from your trouble when you coming to him looking for pity when he gave it to you when he sent his son Jesus? You ain't got to go to him looking for pity. He said, come to me and ask me of those things. All I need you to do is believe me. So if you coming to me without, you ain't coming to me with the right kind of. So it's hard for me to hear that because I say it is impossible to please me if you can't believe me. It's impossible to please God without faith. I'm trying to get you to understand that if we come to God with the right thought, then these thoughts can trickle to our heart and plant the right seeds. Now, what you mean by that? It don't take much for you to doubt that'll trickle down in your heart that'll cause unbelief to start just growing. I ain't gonna believe God for this. I believe for him, but I ain't gonna believe that. I can't do that. I'm not gonna believe God for to do something for you and doubt him to do it for me. Because he ain't got no respect of person. So I got the right attitude or the right man, and I'm going to have the right prayer when I go to him. I'm going to go to him believing that he can. I'm going to go to him believing that he said, because they come to me, must come to me believing that I am. And then I will reward you. I'm going to give you that thing. You can't come to me with no doubt now, because you ain't going to get nothing. I said that the Bible says that too. You can't come to me with no doubt. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. See, brokenness can come to you. He had me to preach a sermon, Breaking the Broken. See, when you're in a place of being broken, he still want to break some things off of you. Don't think because you in that place of brokenness that you Lord, I'm already low, so you can't take me no lower. Baby, he gonna take you all the way down. He wants you to go all the way down, breaking the brokenness. Listen to me. What is deliver? It's to free from the penalties or consequences of sin. It's to remove from danger or harm. It's to put something into the possession of safekeeping of another. What is the contrite? It's feeling or showing sorrow and remorse for improper or objectionable behavior, actions, or reactions, or etc. How many times in our heart, in our mind, in our bodies, in our soul, that we have a tendency of thinking and believing that I can't do this, and I won't do this, and I don't have to do this, and I don't owe nobody this, and I don't owe that. You see, where's the remorse? Do we have any remorse in our heart for some things, for something that we did, or something that, now mind you, you can feel sorry for that thing or for that person at that moment or at that time. And then the next moment, you don't have that remorse or that sorrow inside of your heart. So it just cannot be just for a second. It cannot be just for a minute. See, when we got a broken heart, it could be from anything. Are y'all following me today? Because we talking about the terms of life. We talking about the terms of life. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So what makes you think and what makes you believe that God is not going to deliver you out of that thing that you are in trouble with? What makes you think or what makes you believe that God is a conditional God? God has given us some conditions that we have to live by. Okay? And God given us these conditions. I gotta make this plain to y'all. See, because we get it twisted when we say, oh, the Lord knows my heart. He knows that I love him and so you can't judge me. Can't nobody, you are exactly right. He do know your heart. But in order for your mind to get right, he got to first let you understand your heart. Now you may know your heart, you think. You do know you don't know your heart. Don't none of us know our heart. Stop letting people call you talking about, you know what? If it was me, I'd know. Because you don't know what you were cotton picking do at that time. You don't know. You don't know how emotions is going to trigger you to go. Baby, you better ask Yvette. Did you hear what I say? I got tired of going to jail. Oh, wait, did I say prison or jail? Both. You don't know what you would do at a time when something happened. You know, y'all think I'm kidding, don't you? Let your kids be hungry. And you don't know what else or how else. Baby, you going to use what you got. You Jesus. Not what you want. Say it. What you think you need. But that, y'all didn't know. Did I say I'm talking about Yvette? Because I can't talk about nobody else. I can only talk about me. I can talk about the many afflictions that I had to endure or that I had to go through in order to learn my terms of life. See, because my terms and my conditions caused me to be and do and act and, whoo, Jesus, the Bible say all of us did some stuff that we ashamed of. We don't even want to talk about it. Baby, I tell all my business. I ain't even ashamed no more. You know why? Because my terms of life has shifted in knowing who is the way, the truth, and the life. See, my terms caused me to do some things that not only put conditions and strain and trouble other folk, but I didn't have a contrite heart in doing that. You think I care? Because it's all about me and mine. I'm just talking about Yvette. I'm talking about the terms of life that puts us in a place that we forget who really is the source of it all. See, our terms and conditions, they have a tendency of discombobulating us and making us want to go over and beyond, putting our hands on stuff we ain't even got no business. We be all in the way. Now, he's a big old God, y'all. We won't even move to the side for him to get by because we done barricaded him. Why? Because of our conditions. And then we have the audacity to put terms and conditions on him. Well, Lord, if you do this for me, I promise I'll do this. What the world? No, you're lying. You just want a quick fix. And now you done made that vow, he gonna hold you to it. Now, he didn't tell you what you got to go through to pay it up. But that's just like, I tell people all the time, I say, y'all know what? It's like I'm married to the mob. Because, baby, when he get to telling you his secrets and revealing his mysteries, you can't quit. You ain't going to be so easily moved. See, these afflictions, many of the afflictions are of the right. When you're being afflicted, when people come into your land, you disrespecting you or trying to off you, trying to get you fired on your job or trying to take stuff from you or trying to prevent you from getting stuff or holding their hand closer. I'm talking about all the affliction. Let's talk about the sickness and the stuff and that's going on in your body or the doubts and the fears and the tears and the late nights and the wonders and you can't get, you can't even eat. How about you can't eat? We're talking about these kind of afflictions. We ain't just talking about the, oh, my toe hurt. I done broke my toe. No, let's talk about the affliction that's inside of your heart from that person that hurt you and you gave everything to. What about the abandonment? Let's say the rejection. See, we forget that Jesus said in John 14:6, he is the way, the truth, and the life. That's it, terms of life. So what is your terms really? Well, I want y'all to really ponder on that question today. What are your terms and what are your conditions in your own life? Because in actuality, if you let that light bulb go off, your life don't even belong to you. It does not even belong to you. You were intentionally purposed for his purpose. But if you ain't got that right state of mind, then you are never coming to the understanding to remove them conditions that you would not put on yourself and others. Are y'all getting it? When I was pregnant with my first child, I already had everything already planned out. What I wanted, what I thought, what I knew, and that joker had conditions too, because you the dad. So when things didn't pan out the way that I had it conditioned, And the terms and the way that I felt like that it should be, it made me, it discombobulated me. And all the time, I was talking to the Lord like, now Lord, now you done said this and you done said that and God, and I'm trying to figure out, and that, not even allowing my own self to realize that God is the way. Now you could be the grew up in church as I was. Heard about him, think you know about him, all that. But these terms and conditions that we put on our own lives will stunt us from growth naturally as well as spiritually. Are y'all following me today? How would it stunt us? How do you really believe that it'll stunt you? Because the Bible declares, and I'm gonna read it just like it's saying. John 14:6. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why did he say that he is the way? See, because a lot of us is clueless. A lot of us is going. His disciples wanted to know where he was going. His disciples wanted to know how he was going to get there, when, and you know, asking all these questions because they want to know the condition or the way. Or the, he say, I am the way. I'm the truth, and I am the life. I'm going to say that again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Terms of life. That's the name of the sermon. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So your way, I'm going to ask you right now, how's it working out for you? It ain't working, is it, baby? It ain't working out for you. It ain't working out the way that you thought it should be, the way that you hope it should be, the way that you plan it to be, the way that you want it to be. It ain't working out your way. So the truth of the matter is, the only way is my way, says the Lord. And that's the right way. His way is our thinking. Did y'all know it was the thinking? Because he said, be transforming your mind. He said, be renewed in your mind. He said, have the same kind of mind he got. He said, I mean, it's all kind of scriptures to talk about this right here. You see what I'm saying? Because if you don't keep your mind stayed on him, you're not going to understand that he's the way. If you don't understand that Jesus or the Lord or God is the way, then you will not accept it. Because it's not on your terms, baby. Because if you do it his way, I'm telling y'all, it's the best way. I had to learn the hard way. I had to learn the hard way because I wanted to do it my way, and I thought my way was working. But in the end, I realized that it wasn't working out for me. It wasn't working out for me. It wasn't working out for me. And the first thing that I had to do was not lean to my own understanding. See, if we lean to our own understanding, we're not going to understand the truth. Did I lose somebody right there? Because I used to always say this. I don't care what nobody say. I know what I saw and I know what I heard, and can't nobody tell me different. That was a lie that I deceived myself. I deceived myself with that. Why did you deceive? Because that wasn't the truth. And the Bible says so. And I'm paraphrasing. Be not deceived by what you see and what you hear, because everything that you see and hear is really not what it pertains to be. The Bible says that we are so clouded with what is going on right now in our lives that we can't see afar. He said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you that are good and they are not evil. So your terms of life is causing you to go down a road that you ain't got to go down. Your terms of life is causing you to experience some heartache that you ain't got to experience. Now, I done sat up here and I gave y'all what life was. We going to be sad when somebody die in our life. Yes, it's going to hurt us, but we are not supposed to be in a place of grief. Why? The Bible declares that we should be rejoicing when folk die. We should be rejoicing when people make their transition. But we don't because it hurts. It hurts because we don't want to lose that individual. Okay, so we don't want to lose that individual. Our terms and conditions of life. If you born, it's only one guarantee in this life. Let me help y'all right quick. Remove the conditions off of other people and terms, because ain't nobody gonna do it the way that you think that they should do it. You could come into the truth and the fullness of Christ Jesus and try to help somebody else to clearly see, but that individual is not going to understand it because they don't want to accept it. Why? Because it is truth. You cannot put the conditional truth on people until you remove the unconditional lie in your mind. Did y'all hear what I say? Because our mind have all kind of unconditional stuff. We believe. But until we remove some things that we have put on our own selves, we cannot remove them off of other folk. They will never come into the truth. Therefore, they cannot have the life that they expect. Do I need to start over? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Your life would not become unconditional or unlimited until you understand that you must accept Jesus as being the way out of no way. And no matter if that way may look bleak, the truth of knowing that he's able will give you life of an abundance. Did y'all get that? Did y'all get that? So you ain't got to be troubled, because he said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let that thing be a strain on your brain or worry you or be weighty. Don't let it keep you up at night. Do not allow it to stop you from eating. Did you hear me? I'm telling y'all all the stuff that I've experienced in my whole life, that I know without a shadow of a doubt that he's able to what? Deliver me out of every affliction in my mind. When they tried to say that I was crazy, baby, and they wanted to lock me up in an asylum, God regulated my mind. Did y'all hear what I say? I know that he's a healer. When they told me that I never walk, talk, run, do nothing else ever again in my life, baby, I'm doing it today. Did you hear me? And it's been 20 plus years since they told me that. I know he's the way and the truth. I'm not fit to go to no doctor and let a doctor sit up here and tell me one thing or try to give me a death sentence or tell me this is that, because I know God is able to do what? Exceedingly and abundantly above all I can think. It's right here again. Did you hear what I say? I can't even imagine, baby. I'm not going to allow myself to be deceived by what I see, because that ain't the kind of faith I got. Faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for, and the evidence of things what? Not seen. So I may not see it, but baby, I believe it. And guess what? I'm in expectation, because it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. I'm not finna put no condition on my own self, which causes me to limit God within my heart to make me forfeit everything that he said I'm going to inherit. Did y'all hear what I say? Remove the terms today. Remove the conditions today. In the knowing who you serve. And who is that? Jesus, not Allah, not Buddha, and not Confucius. Baby, can't none of them do nothing for me. Did you hear what I say? I ain't fit to do no chanting unless I'm speaking in tongues and the master got me doing it. I ain't fit to be rubbing nothing together, baby, for to see no man or poof or no, or what they calling them, what? God, did y'all hear what I say? I don't need to stand up over no fire and say no, write down no spells. I ain't into voodoo, baby, and I ain't into nothing but Jesus. Did you hear what I say? I don't need no nobody to come and tell me, no psychic. I don't need no necromancer, because I ain't talking to the dead, because the Bible says there's a gulf between us. So who you really talking to, boo? You, I'm serious.
Jesus
is the way, the truth, and the life, baby. Can't nobody convince me or persuade me no other way to go. Because I know he's a healer. He's a deliverer. I know he's my creditor. Because they tried to tell me what I couldn't have. And God said, you can. They told me what not to do, and God told me, let me tell y'all something. Listen to me. You know when you getting ready to buy a house and stuff, they tell you to don't buy no big purchases and different other stuff like that. They say because your credit score need to be at a certain another area or whatever. Now I'm like, okay, Lord. Now he done already told me, he said, no. He said, I'm finna give you everything new in your life. He say, old things. He say, just get that old stuff. I want everybody to say this before I finish. I ain't taking nothing from my past into my future. Did y'all hear what I say today? Let me tell y'all what the Lord told me. So I was in the process of getting ready to buy a house. They fit a building from the ground. In the midst of them, let me backtrack a little bit. I wasn't finna buy nothing. The Bible says that they would give you houses that you didn't build. So I wasn't finna buy nothing. City of Mobile gave me a house built from the ground up. So let me get that clear. Because I believe that thing right there, that book. The one that say Holy Bible, that's the one I'm talking about. It come in many different colors, baby. I'm talking about the one that King James wrote. That's the one I'm talking about. So, they told me, did you know your credit score got to be at this place? Such and such. So, well, where do you think your credit score at? I said, well, last time I looked at it, my credit score was like at 5-something. Maybe 525. That was years ago. Now, the Lord already told me. He said, I'm going to make you debt free. Now, he told me this 10 years ago, way before I even came down here. He said, I'm going to make you debt free. And when I came down here, my credit score was in the fold, y'all. Did y'all hear what I say? It wasn't even 3 years. I had not even been checking my credit. I was getting stuff all in the mail saying paid in full. Paid in full. Still wasn't even checking my credit score, none of that stuff. Anything I ever wanted, I went to God first. Okay? So they say, don't purchase this, don't purchase that, don't do this, don't do that. I said, okay. And so in the midst of it, it was like a month before I got ready to sign the closing papers, right? They said, we got to pull your credit score one more time. And I said, oh, okay. So in the midst of it, let me tell y'all about don't be deceived by what you see or what you hear. Because everything that you see and hear really ain't what it pertains to be. Because if God said it, baby, you can depend on it. Listen to this. So, in the midst of it, the Lord say, go get your car. I say, go get my car. Got up, got to walking around the house. Now, you know the devil ain't finna tell you nothing. Okay. parked in my car. The Lord say, and go get what you want. I say, ooh. I say, I don't even know how. I ain't got nothing. I don't even care. You said go get it. I ain't going to even worry about it. So I went to the place. And in the midst of it, it wasn't no salespeople there. And I'm standing there. And this man walked up to me. He said, how can I help you? I say, I want that 2024 Wagoneer right there. He say, oh, you know that's a $100,000 car. I say, I don't care. I said, I want to test drive it right now. He said, we got one on lot. I said, I want that one right there. And you know, they had to open up the window to pull it out. I drove that. I called it a big boy. I had to jump up in it. I'm like, ooh, there's a whole lot of room. All my grandkids and my daughter, we got up in there and got the ride in and so came back. He said, let me get somebody to help you. So when I sat down and a guy started helping me, this is what I heard. You know that's going to stop you from being able to close. They said don't buy no big purchases. I say, you know what? I don't even supposed to be in here. This is what I told the man. I say, because I'm trying to close on this house. I say, and I don't even supposed to be making no big purchases. I say, he say, you know what? I know what you're talking about because I just did that. So we got into a conversation. And in the midst of the conversation, I realized what I was doing. And then I say, but I want that car. He said, well, if that's what you want, then you can get it. How's your credit? I say, I got really good credit. So I said, well, let me see. No, let me go. Let me pull it. He came back happy and smiling. Ooh, your credit score is like 780. You can get that car if you want it. He happy because you know he finna get some commission. And so in the midst of it, because I had two other cars financed already, they didn't want to give me what I wanted. I say, the man say, well, where you work at? I say, for Jesus. He say, oh, he say, so the church pay you a salary? I say, absolutely not. I don't get paid for that. He said, well, we do need to see some income. I said, oh, I got some income. I say, y'all could take both them cars and keep them. Because I ain't taking them back with me. I'm taking that home with me today. He say, so, wait a minute. Let me go ahead and talk to him. Man, wasn't there to talk to the man. He said, oh, you bought both of these cars from us. I say, yeah. I said, y'all was asking for income. They say, no, because you came and you put down that $10,000 and you such and such and such. I say, I told you you had that. Take that. I don't want it. He said, well, what you putting down today? I say, absolutely nothing. He said, so, you, wait a minute, let me go back in here and talk to the other man. Went back there and talked to the other man and came back. He said, I'm sorry, somebody else. They wouldn't give me the Wagoneer that I want. And so I say, okay. I say, so let me tell you what I want. I say, I want an SUV. I want three rows. I said, I want something that's going to entertain my grandbabies because we love to travel. I said, I want something that's going to get me where I'm going to get and come back. He said, well, we got to use. I said, nope, and I want a 2024. That's what I want. That's what I want. So, show me some things. I said, okay. Out of all the stuff they showed me, when I got to what I got today, I said, oh, that's what I want. It wasn't even here in Mobile. Now, mind you. He said, well, we'll have it in 2 days. I said, I ain't paying no money for y'all to go get that. He said, oh, you ain't got to do that. I said, I ain't giving y'all no money down. Oh, you don't need no money down. I said, I ain't taking them cars back that I didn't get to y'all. I said, but I'm going to keep one of them if y'all get mine here. They said, okay. So, the terms and conditions, they got to remove all that. I'm giving y'all this story for a reason. So, I got my car. Driving it today, a 2024 Jeep. L Series. All the bells and whistles, y'all. Listen to this right here. Listen, listen. This finna blow y'all out the water. So, it was a week before it was time for me to get ready to sign my papers. And I told the lady, I said, well, I went and bought me a car. You bought a car? You bought a car? I said, yeah. She said, well, what kind of car you got? That's an $80,000 car you put on your credit. And we told you not to do this and not to do that because it would hinder this and hinder that. And you got them other two cars on there too? That adds up to almost $200,000. You ain't gonna be able to get the house. I say, for real? She said, yeah. You know what? I got to let the people know what you done did and such and such and such and such. So she let everybody know. Got 2 or 3 different phone calls telling me. But I couldn't have the house. Cause I bought. You could have waited until after you got the house and then went and purchased. I said, and all the while, all I can hear the Lord say, go get your car. Now, he done already gave me the house. They trying to take it back. Now, Lord done already told me, go get your car. Now, he done told me if he'd give me anything new. So, God says, he every good and perfect gift come from above, and he add no sorrow to it. So, why am I feeling fear? And I instantly went into prayer. Hey, I hear you. So I instantly went into prayer. And in the midst of me going into prayer, this is when the righteous cry out. See, I went in there with the right state of mind. I said this. I said, Lord, I say, I'm not coming to you asking you to give me anything that you already gave me. I say, but I'm coming to you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you will remove any and everything that's causing me to be afraid, because you are not a God of fear. Lord, so I got to praying for those emotions try to trigger a lie when he had already told me the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life, y'all. Is y'all getting it? In the midst of me praying that prayer, my phone rung. And this is what she said. She say, you know what? Before we go any further, I'm just going to pull your credit score right now. But I need you to come in the office and sign the paper so that I can do it and you giving me permission. I said, okay. And so I came in right quick and I signed the paper. And when I signed the paper, she pulled up my credit score and everything. And she said, hit some more buttons. She said, hit some more buttons. She said, how long ago did you say you bought this car? I said, it's been almost a month, going on a month, maybe that. She said, I see that your other two cars is paid off, but I don't see this car on there. And your credit score has went up over 800. She said, so when did you want to sign the closing papers? So when I say don't be deceived at what you see or what you hear, because everything you see is not really what it pertains to be. Because let me sit up here and tell you something. This is what God did for me. He elevated my faith in him. How? How did he elevate your faith, Pastor, when you already believed him? See, this is how he did it. They told me one thing not to do, but God told me another thing to do. So whose report am I going to believe? I'm going to stand on the word of God versus what something or somebody else is showing me or telling me. And I'm going to believe God because everybody else is a liar. So if the Lord tell me to do something and they telling me not to do something, I'm going to do what God, because I know it's all going to work out for my good. Are y'all following me? I'm talking about getting into a place of elevation in your faith that you can believe that thing you cannot see, all because he said it. I got to play this song for y'all. Let me explain something to you guys. It does not matter what your terms of life may be. What you believe you cannot have or obtain. You may not be able to touch it or see it or even figure out how it's going to come about. But if he said it, you can depend on it. Did you hear what I say? See, it may not come right quick, but if he said it, because he said, my word will go out and perform that thing that I spoke. It can't return into him void. If he say he's going to fix something, baby, he's going to fix it. If he say he's going to heal you, he's going to heal you. If he say you getting married, you're going to get married. If he say he's going to move a thing out the way, he's going to move it out the way. If he say signed, sealed, and delivered, it's signed, sealed, and it's delivered. All you got to do is be in expectation for it. Don't doubt it. Don't be afraid. Don't even think for one moment that it is not so. Because if he said it, it is done. Because everything that he says simply yes and amen. It's praying time, y'all. Come to the altar. I want y'all to get yellow sheets of paper and red pens. I want y'all to write down any and everything that's causing you to go into a place of doubt. That's causing you to go into a place of fear. That's causing you to go into that place of thinking and believing that you cannot have it or obtain it. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You may not be able to obtain that thing on your own. You may not be able to get it done. And let me tell you something. A doctor can't help you because God don't need no help. Can't nobody else help you do it. Only God can do it. He said it. It is so. It's He said it, y'all. Write these things down. When you get to writing them down, please come put them on the altar. I never read that stuff. I just pray over it. And then the Lord have me to offer it up unto him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The terms of life. Remove these conditions of your own self. Remove these conditions of your man, of your thoughts. Let your prayers become righteous prayers. Have the right attitude when you're going to pray. Have the right thought. Even if it's towards an individual, a circumstance, or a situation. We be all in his way. Thank you, Jesus. When you come up to the altar, please just start praying for yourself. God already got that plan going on for you. He already done told you what he gonna do or even how he gonna do it. You just don't know when he gonna do it. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, get on the altar. Come on, you guys. Get on the altar. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come up on the altar. Come up on the altar. Don't be scared of it. Don't be scared. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is going to move some things out the way for you. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, right there. So, come on here, right here, baby. Come on the altar. Come on the altar. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody, start praying for yourself. Sometimes we think and believe a certain other thing. Sometimes we think and believe that a thing should happen the way that it should happen. But it's all on the terms of Jesus. Thank you, 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 Jesus.
And our troubles unto you right now, Father, and we lay them on the altar, Lord God. We put our hearts on the altar this morning. We put our minds on the altar this morning, Lord God. Father God, we come crying out to you, Lord God. Lord God, your word tells us to cry loud and to cry unto you, Father God. So, Father God, we reach right now, Lord God. We're reaching in the altar right now, Lord God. We're crying out on the altar right now, Lord God. We're letting our troubles go, Lord God. We're giving them to you, Lord God. We're giving you our emotions, Lord God. We're giving you our mindset, our way of thinking, Lord God. We're crying out right now, Lord God. Let this mind be in us as it is in you, Lord God. Give us your mind, Lord God. Give us your thoughts, Lord God. Put your mind, your word in our mind, God, that we might speak it in our mouth right now, Lord God. So, Father God, we let go. And we say, Lord God, you have your way. You have your way. We give you every situation, every legal situation, every marriage situation, every job situation, every overthinking situation, every heart situation, every sickness situation, Lord God, every financial situation, whatever it may be, Lord God, we give it unto you. We cast our cares on you this morning, for we know that you care for us. And we let it go, Lord God. We let it go, Father God. God, we thank you right now, Lord God. We take on your terms and we let our terms go. The terms that we put on others and the terms that we put on ourselves, Lord God. Oh God, we accept the unacceptable. We let you be God and we let our way of thinking, our way of doing things go, Father God. Let your kingdom come. Your will be done in our lives as it has already been recorded in heaven. Father God, we thank you right now. We thank you right now, Lord God. We come with sincerity of heart, Lord God. We come with sincerity of mind, Lord God. Not worried about what's going on around us, Lord God. For we know that you are the Prince of Peace. We know that you are the King of Kings. And we know that you are the Lord of Lords. And we thank you for moving in our lives right now. We thank you for the anointing of God destroying every yoke and removing every burden. God, we thank you and we bless you. Oh God, you said that you give us an oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness. You give us an oil of joy for the spirit of sadness. And you give us a garment of praise. Oh God, for the spirit of heaviness. Lift every spirit of heaviness right now, oh God. Lift up every hung down heart. Oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Move in a mighty way, Lord God. Let your spirit fall in his place upon every heart. Move from heart to heart, Lord God. Thank you.
And give it to God right now. Give it to God right now. Give it all to him right now. Give it to him right now. Touch your people right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Touch your hands and even in their hearts. Let your people know without a shadow of a doubt, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you're working out some things and that you're changing some things. Let your people know, Father God, in the name of Jesus, let your people know, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that this too shall pass. Oh God, let them not continue to carry these things, God. Let them not continue to carry these things, God. Oh, Baba, share the local sun in the lacafe. Oh, Mama, in the local sea. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my man, little local sea. Hi, little local Shana. Release it. Just shake it. Thank you, Jesus. Like I'm walking up this alley, it's gonna be easy for me to walk away from that thing. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. It's hard to walk away in. Got to. Your life depend on it. And you know that. You know that already. Your life depends on it. Walk down that aisle. Walk with her, Lisa. And hold her hand. Come on. turning around for you. Do you believe it? Don't doubt it. He's working it out. It's turning around. It's turning around. So it won't always be like this. He got to perfect that thing. Jesus. Sometimes it's going to hurt for y'all to walk away from some stuff, for some people, for some situations, for some things that's been so weighty. It's turning around. You may not can't see it. Now I see it. I see it. It ain't going to always be like this. I bind and rebuke that low self-esteem. I bind and rebuke that spirit of segregation and degradation. That spirit that make you think and believe that it won't change. They can't change. But God can change things, but he won't change. You believe it's turning around for you, Miss D. Jesus.
You believe that? Just lift your hands to the atmosphere and claim your season of turnaround.
Is y'all claiming it? You believe it's turning around for you? Do you want it to turn around for you? Why? Don't answer that. Just ponder it. Because he just had me say, the righteous cry out. We got to have that right thought, that right mind when we're crying out. Why you cry all the time? I bow to rebuke that spirit of depression. I bow to rebuke that spirit of fear.
Thank you.
stand and rebuke that spirit, Eopo Shamina, of lovelessness. God say, I love you.
Y'all know what? Y'all know what? It's God is doing some things God is doing some things.
Somebody clap your hands if you know it's gonna be God.
You know, it's not by chance that the Lord. I want every kid in here to get in that middle aisle. I'm finna pray for y'all children. I want all the kids to come up here on this altar. Just come on the altar. Come on, come on, come on. Prophetess Tamika, would you please anoint all the children for me? Please. Y'all spread out on the altar. Just spread out on the altar. All the children.
Mindset which is in you. We thank you, Lord, that above all things that they have been armored with the armory of heaven, with the armory of God. Father God, even now, mighty God, as you have been preparing them for back to school, we thank you, Lord, mighty God, that they have on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, mighty God, the gospel of peace, mighty God. Father God, I thank you, Lord, mighty God, that they are above and never beneath. I thank you, Lord, that they are the head and never the tail. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that they are what you have called them and designed them to be. They are not what the world dictates them to be, mighty God. And so, God, every negative word, every ill-spoken word that has been uttered over our children, we cancel it in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we decree and declare that our children are holy because you have set them apart for your glory. We thank you, Lord, that our children are, mighty God, royalty. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that they are a royal priest.
this word. We thank you, Lord, that you have commissioned them to be leaders in this world and never followers. Father God, where it is that you have planted them, mighty God, they shall go out into the world being your bearers and your light of truth. Oh God, I thank you, Lord, that when everybody else is conforming, that our children have not conformed to the systems or the standards of this world. Oh God, I thank you, Lord, that our children are used, the mighty God, in the highways and the byways of life, in the schools, in the marketplace, wherever it is that you would have put them. Father God, I remember, mighty God, when you were young, mighty God, preaching, mighty God, in the temple, and Mary and Joseph couldn't understand, Lord, but you said that you would have gone out to do your father's business. So too, it is the same for your children who are here today, that they, mighty God, have started your business, your work, wherever it is that you have planted them. Oh God, I thank you, Lord, that as young as they are, many of them are called from early, mighty God, like even King Josiah. God, I thank you, Lord, for the Davids and the Joshuas in our midst. I thank you for the Deborahs, the Esthers, and the Ruths. In the name of Jesus, oh God, they are women and men of excellence in Jesus Christ. Oh God, they are disciplined, they have respect, they have integrity, they have valor, they have excellence. All these things, mighty God, we have declared upon your children. Oh God, teach us, mighty God, to be, mighty God, good parents, mighty God, and good caregivers to those with whom you have given unto us. Oh God, mighty God, let us speak words of encouragement and wisdom over their lives. Let us lift them up, mighty God, never speak ill against them in the name of Jesus. Oh God, remind them each and every day, and help us to remind them also that they are the apple of your eyes, that they are chosen, that they are blessed in their going out and blessed in their coming in. Oh God, mighty God, we wrap them with your blood, the efficacious blood of Jesus, the blood that never curdles, the blood that speaks through all eternity. This is a portion of your children. Oh God, mighty God, and even so, when they march out, mighty God, today, that they are marching even harder and heavier than before. Oh God, that even those who see them, mighty God, even the enemy will tremble, mighty God, at their little feet in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you have given them everything according to life and godliness. Oh God, I thank you for the love of Jesus, which is their birthmark. Oh God, mighty God. Oh God, with their heads lifted up, with their hearts lifted up, with their mouths filled with praise, our children will sing new songs of victory unto you each and every day, because they're blessed. They're blessed, God. They're blessed. They're blessed because of you. Oh God, remind them, God, that they are yours. Oh God, and you love them with an everlasting love. All these things we seal in no other name but the name of Jesus, as we all say amen.
Right now, we're going to stop today.
Somebody get this gear, kid.
Come on, y'all. Let me get these feet.
That's where you're sneaking.
No, Aaron's like,
what did your mama tell you?
Bless the Lord.
Yes.
Shall we bless the Lord?
Hallelujah.
You know,
it's
always a pleasure to be in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
And without a shadow of a doubt, we know that this place is not just any place. It's not just any sanctuary, but it's the kind of temple where the Lord dwells among his people. And I just want to share this with you really quick. On July the 7th, when I came to Alabama. And the Lord told me, upon placing my feet on the parking lot, heading towards the church, he declared that this place is holy ground. And I could feel the very presence of God, and I know that the atmosphere suits that of heaven in this place. Last night when I was reading and doing my devotion with the Lord, he reminded me of a few things in Luke 10. And in Luke 10, he made the commission where he would have sent out his disciples two by two. And many of them were rejoicing in the fact that, Lord, even demons, they listen when we speak because of the authority and the commission that you would have given unto us. And so I say all of this to say that each and every one of us here are disciples of Jesus Christ. I came with the intention thinking that I was going to work with Tennessee, in Tennessee. But things did not go according to my plans. It went according to the Lord's plans.
Amen.
And so it was fitting that the Lord would have sent Pastor Tate on this journey with me. Yes, I don't want you to turn your back. Today is my last summer here in Alabama, but it's not goodbye, it's more of see you later. You'll still hear me on the prayer line or whenever it is that I chime in, but I just wanted to take the time and the opportunity to just recognize this gem that the Lord has placed in my life, because it's a divine connection. And so with just a small token of my appreciation, it's not a lot, but it's from my heart and in sincerity. Lisa, can you please?
Y'all play too much.
This is a token of my appreciation to you, Pastor Tate. She has opened her doors to let me for the past 6 weeks. Listen, when the Lord sends people to take care of you, just give him thanks. She is a true and a pure woman of God. And she has been obedient to the steadfast commitment and love of God. And I want you to cherish her. Cherish her. Cherish her. And so, Pastor Tate, I just want to say to you, thank you so much for all it is that you have done for me during the time that I've been here. And it's certainly not goodbye. We'll definitely be in touch. And God's love and continued blessings always. Here you go. Come on.
Steffi,
we go. Well, we want to give you our appreciation as well. I don't know why you thought that you were going to be left out, but we appreciate everything that you have brought. We thank you for coming into our family. We thank you for leaving an unexplainable mark on us, because you most definitely have inspired me. So I am grateful. We are all grateful that you have come and left us with such love and empowerment. And we can't wait for you to come back.
Y'all know I don't like that.
Because
it's not about me at all, you guys. But I do. I love you guys to bits and pieces. And it's a pleasure to serve God's people. It's a truly, truly, truly a pleasure. What is your name, sweetie? Tell me. Kira. Kira. Kira done affecting me some kind of way today, y'all. The Lord was talking about the children today. For some reason, I don't know, but he knows what each and every last one of us need in our lives. Just know that I love each and every last one of you children on today. And hear me when I say this. Don't ever think
or believe that you cannot or do not have someone that you can talk to or express some things to without any judgment, without any fear, without even any hesitation. Don't y'all believe that, okay? Because God is, he loves us all. I don't care what age, rank, or whatever we are. Okay? Did y'all hear me? Did I say I love you guys?
We love you.
I love y'all so much. I do. I do. I wanna play this. Know that we all need one another, okay? Remember what the Lord had me to tell you guys about mothers and fathers and children, that we have to respect one another regardless to who or what age they are. That a child can feel safe enough to come to us and talk to us about anything. It does not matter what it is. Anything. Without fear, guilt, embarrassment, or shame. Did y'all hear me? We need one another, you guys. For real, for real. We're gonna get ready to get our tithes and our offering. Anybody need any envelopes? Anybody need any envelopes, please raise your hands. They're gonna get you guys some envelopes. A hand clap of praise for Prophetess Tamika. Come on. Baby. Stand up so they can see your face.
Hallelujah.
I just thank God for the men and women of God. Let me tell y'all something. God knows when folk need some help. I love the Lord, y'all, and I will not take it back. Anybody need any envelopes, please raise your hands. We're going to get ready to get our tithes and our offering. The Bible declares.